Did you know that the word feedback was first used in 1919? And it primarily had to do with mechanics. The original definition is pretty dry. The return to the input of a part of the output of a machine, system, or process. Yuck. Today, the primary definition for feedback isn't much better. The transmission of evaluative or corrective information about an action, event, or process to the original or controlling source. Still yuck. And yet, feedback is the word we use all the time in corporate America to supposedly help our team members do better work. I don't know about you, but I don't want to give or receive a transmission of corrective information to the original source. Thanks. Welcome to Manager on a Mission, the podcast for managers who want to rework the workplace and leave a lasting legacy by putting people first. I'm your host, Tosca Faso, former Fortune 100 executive turned podcaster, author, speaker, consultant, and optimist. I'm so glad you're here with me. Hey everyone, it's Tosca. Real quick, I created a free checklist for managers who want to lead differently. It's called the Good Manager's Game Plan. It's a strategic list of action items you can do this week, this month, this quarter, and even this year. No matter how crazy work is right now or how wrong it feels, this is the list you need. Just go to toscafaso.com and download that free guide. Now, maybe you're thinking, if I'm not delivering feedback, isn't everybody on my team going to think I'm a pushover and then decide they're just going to slack off and be terrible at their jobs? No, I'm not saying managers should just be happy with everything employees do and never provide any guidance on how to improve. I'm saying the terms and the interactions we use matter. And I don't like the one-sidedness of delivering feedback because it sounds like bosses are just sitting around watching, waiting for team members to mess up, and then weighing in with their commentary and walking away. And often, that's exactly what they do. So on today's podcast, we're going to talk about what managers can do instead of just delivering feedback. Now, I sort of understand the idea behind feedback cultures, but they do assume that managers are doing it skillfully within an atmosphere of trust. And unfortunately, a Career Builder study showed that 58%, that's more than half, of managers don't receive any management training, like zero. As in none. And employees' careers and lives are in those managers' hands. Okay, so obviously that's a topic for a whole other episode. But another study showed that almost half of employees leave their jobs because of bad company culture. And right now, corporate America isn't exactly giving off a whole lot of good vibes with all those mass layoffs. Add these together, and it starts to feel like maybe feedback isn't the gift some executives keep trying to tell us that it is. To be able to be open to constructive growth conversations, employees need to feel safe, and managers need to have the skills to handle sensitive conversations like these. And far too often, neither of these is true. So instead of just giving feedback, what I'm recommending is having coaching conversations or growth conversations. And when you give just one-sided feedback, you might send your team members scurrying and hurrying. Maybe you even feel valuable or powerful for a second. But when you think about it, have you really helped your team understand excellence? Are they able to increasingly make their own smart decisions or come up with new ways to do things when all that you've done is tell them what they did wrong and instill fear in them? Here's a little more detail about why feedback falls short. When your mindset as a manager is that you need to catch your team's mistakes and that mistakes are shameful, you make assumptions about what your team members did wrong instead of asking questions to understand intent and then brainstorming together on how to improve the next time. You're missing the real gift there, in my opinion. Coaching employees to healthily frame mistakes as growth opportunities also helps them build confidence and then deliver beyond expectations the next time. I'm going to go a little bit deeper here into how coaching differs from correcting and why it's better for building healthy, high-performing teams. When the best bosses coach, these are the steps that they take. They ask questions instead of making assumptions. They consider the employee's perspective and try to understand the whole context. They make sure their expectations are clear, meaning they're patient in answering questions or asking their own questions to make sure team members truly understand what they think excellence looks like. They provide background, as in why they're asking a team member for this specific thing and why they want that particular outcome. You see, coaching is all about curiosity and asking questions. It's a growth conversation, whereas feedback is judgment. It's one-sided. It's not a conversation. It's the transmission of evaluative or corrective information, blah, blah, blah. No shade to Merriam-Webster.com. They are just doing their job. So if a team member has made a mistake or fallen short of your expectations, what would one of these curious, non-judgmental coaching conversations actually look like? So to answer that, we're going to contrast two ways a manager could deal with their employee who we'll call Seth. And we'll start off with the feedback way, and then we'll do the coaching way. So the first way could be something like this. Hey, Seth, that project you delivered last week, you can't deliver work like that. It really made our team look bad. Ugh. You've just shamed Seth. But also, your feedback's really unspecific there and delivered in a way that shuts down conversation. It also puts the burden on Seth, who is feeling ashamed and attacked and probably isn't in a place to handle that burden. He's definitely not being coached, and he's definitely not going to be motivated in a positive way to improve. Let's compare that with a coaching approach. Hey, Seth. I noticed last week when you delivered this thing, it wasn't at the same level that you usually do. I'd like to see how we can improve that for next time. Can you tell me your perception of what happened there? What you've done here is explain that this fell short of your expectations. You need it to be better, but it's not delivered in a shameful, emotional way, and it's not a broad blanket statement. In fact, you're actually even acknowledging Seth's usually really good. You're just stating some facts here. This work is below what he usually does, and it needs to be better. But you want to understand why this happened. You want a conversation. It's hard to argue against that as Seth, because it's also respectful. He can't say, "Whoa, you're really blowing this out of proportion." And he can't really wiggle out of it either, but why would he even want to? He can tell you're asking for a conversation and you want to hear his perspective here and you're here to help. He might say something like, oh, what were you expecting that I didn't do? He might just acknowledge and say, yeah, I know, I really dropped the ball there. But now you can have a conversation with Seth about what you do expect and how that's different from what he did, as well as getting some insight into why this happened. What if he understood something wrong, a key part of the strategy? And if you didn't know that, that would have continued to be a big issue going forward. But now, because you've asked a question and you didn't assume, you can correct that misunderstanding. Or what if his wife was just diagnosed with cancer? You could even find out that the way you delivered the assignment made sense, but he was working with another partner who kind of overrode what you said. You don't really know how to most effectively guide Seth until you've found out the reason. So asking questions will give you the perspective you need to provide the right kind of guidance. Most employees will be great most of the time. But I'm sure some of you might be wondering what to do if you have a problem employee, someone who always delivers below expectations or delivers late or seems to fundamentally not understand or even like the work. So yeah, that's different. I have fired people and they have deserved it. But there is a long way between being difficult and getting fired. I've also put people on performance plans and seen them improve. I've also done the same thing and they haven't improved, but maybe they realized they were in the wrong job and they left on good terms. So here are some guidelines. First, as a manager, you need to understand what's actually causing the performance issues. Maybe they fundamentally don't like the work or the company, but what if it's a training or skill issue? Can you help them? Second, make sure you're staying clear, respectful, and factual about how they are missing the mark and providing them with constructive ways to get back on track. It's really important here to have the high ground by being clear and unemotional when you explain consequences and checking in regularly, continuing to be clear, continuing to be honest about their progress. If you're still having issues, this is where you escalate to HR. At this point, you need to make sure you're tracking the dates of conversations, sending follow-ups over email. Hopefully your team member does improve, and if so, you can praise and acknowledge that improvement. Now, these notes for problem employees don't include abusive or toxic coworkers or harassment issues. It's all a little bit out of scope. If you have a persistent situation like that, escalate to your manager and to HR. And like I said, most employees won't have these kinds of issues. They'll just need a little coaching and direction. Let's take this to the next level. Employees are not cogs in a machine. I know you know this, or you wouldn't be listening to me today. They're all different. They respond differently to coaching, which I know can sometimes be stressful, but I'm going to help you make these as positive and simple as possible. There are lots of different ways to better understand how employees think and behave in the workplace. There's personality types, communication styles, even tests like the Enneagram. And I think those can be fun and they can help your team connect in personal ways. And you might want to explore those kinds of things online. But for coaching conversations, we're going to keep it super simple. I recommend you consider where each team member is on these two spectrums. First, whether they're afraid of feedback or welcoming of feedback. So afraid of or welcoming. And then second, whether they're sensitive versus assertive. So again, afraid of or welcoming of feedback, sensitive versus assertive. And on these spectrums, You're just going to use your emotional intelligence to adjust how you hold feedback conversations with your team. One size really does not fit all. You'll get better results and buy-in when you work with your team members' natural communication styles. So I'm going to give you an example again. Let's say we've got TJ, and in this case, TJ is welcoming of feedback and he's assertive. So you might start off with, TJ, last week when you presented to the board, I noticed your slides weren't completely done. You actually had to edit in front of everyone live. You can't do that again. So what was going on? For the same scenario, but with someone afraid of feedback and sensitive, here TJ's got a little bit of a different personality, so you're going to have a different approach. Maybe something like, TJ, you've always been a great presenter and so prepared, but last week when you presented to the board, your slides weren't completely done and you had to edit in front of everyone live. Is everything okay? Can you help me understand what happened so we can work together to make sure that doesn't happen again? With the first scenario, you adjusted for TJ being able to address quickly. You're not soft pedaling it with him. He doesn't take feedback personally. You've done this before with him. He can adjust. In the second scenario, though, what you're trying to avoid is TJ shutting down, maybe being hurt by something that's as direct as that first approach. Now, I know some of you are thinking, this is work and I'm their boss, so why do I have to do this? Well, first of all, you don't. You can absolutely just do whatever you want and say whatever you want and treat your team members however you want, and they'll probably fall in line. But if you want to be the kind of boss that people remember forever and want to work with for years, you'll realize that coaching requires you to consider each team member as the individuals that they are and respect those differences and tailor your approach for the best results. I'm not saying you won't get results by having a one-size-fits-all approach. You might not, but I'm assuming you're listening to this because you want to be the kind of boss that people remember forever in a good way. Okay, so let's wrap this up with some pro tips to make sure feedback conversations or questioning and coaching conversations are as productive and helpful as possible. First, be self-aware. If you're too angry, wait. You will regret being reactive and losing any higher ground. Remember to respond versus react. Next, remember that mistakes really are opportunities for growth. Everyone is going to make them. Your team's going to make them, and so are you. It's what we do to move forward and grow from them that matters. You'll also want to have all the facts. Make sure you've checked in with a few people. Maybe you're getting feedback on a team member secondhand, in which case, definitely make sure you get that full picture. Then be specific. You owe it to the person to not make them have to read between the lines. Saying something like, you don't collaborate enough, isn't helpful or actionable feedback, compared to something more specific like, some of the marketing team mentioned they've been left off your brainstorming meeting. Finally, consider the employee's communication style and tailor your approach. Some people are really sensitive, but others will be annoyed if you're not direct enough. And don't give feedback electronically, regardless of how someone reacts to feedback. People really can't tell tone in a text or a chat, and it can put them in defensive mode, and it's not really a conversation. It doesn't really help with understanding and getting to know the perspective and context. And also, unless you're dealing with someone you have to put on a formal performance plan, don't send them one of those emails. Yes, if you've had to do this a number of times and they're still not getting it, by all means, send them the bulleted email. That you need that for your tracking with HR. But otherwise, have these conversations in person, over the phone, or on Zoom. They're so much more humane, and they're more appropriate for that conversation versus judgment that we've been talking about. Thank you for listening to Manager on a Mission. I'm your host, Tosca Faso. Make sure you follow me on LinkedIn for more content like this. I'm also on TikTok and Insta at It's Tosca Faso. Or you can always just go to my site, toscafaso.com, and you'll find all the links right there. If you like this episode, make sure you follow the podcast and give me a rating. It really does make a difference. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode of Manager on a Mission. Manager on a Mission is produced and managed by Quail Run Studios. Original music written and recorded by Christopher Grant Ward. As for me, I provide coaching, speaking, and consulting services for clients and companies around the world. You can learn more about me and my mission at toscafaso.com.